You are listening to an American Free Press podcast.
Joining me on the line is Dave Dionisi, the president of the Teach Peace Foundation. Dave, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for inviting me to share this time with you.
Dave, I took a look at your website, teachpeace.com, and it's very interesting. And why don't we start from the beginning, for the benefit of the listeners, why don't you tell them who you are and what exactly is the Teach Peace Foundation?
I'm a volunteer with the Teach Peace Foundation, and we're a group of people that are working to educate people both in the United States and around the world about the New World Order, and specifically the dangers that this secretive cartel, the dangers that they pose for both people in the U.S. and people outside the U.S. And we offer both education on alternatives to violence and acts of kindness.
Okay, why don't we start with that term, the New World Order? Why don't you give the listeners a definition of that?
It goes by many names. It's basically a secretive cartel. They follow a religious format, and that's something people often miss. Sometimes they just dismiss it as monetary cartel. It certainly is that, but it's much more. And about every adult I speak with knows about the Organization of Petroleum Exporting Countries. You know, they know OPEC is real. They know it's a cartel and it influences the price of oil. What few people realize is that a much more powerful bank cartel exists, and that this cartel existed even before the creation of the United States. And at various points in our history, people in our country were much more informed about this cartel. Matter of fact, perhaps it peaked in 1912 with the congressional investigation into what was at that time called not the New World Order, but the Money Trust Cartel. And matter of fact, the Money Trust Cartel investigation, all the findings from Congress that a secretive small banking cartel was in control of the United States, which was the official finding of that congressional investigation in 1912, that can be found, all the documentation, on the Teach Peace Foundation website in our library section. And so what this cartel has been able to do through their creation of the Federal Reserve and subsequent banking institutions, the Bank for International Settlement, the World Bank, the IMF, is they've been able to hide their existence very effectively. And because I have a background in the senior levels in the financial world, and because I had served in the past as a military intelligence officer, and along with my work in many countries over the last 20 years, I was able to see firsthand, and specifically by following the money, that this cartel is real and is orchestrating events that are currently leading the world to a third world war.
As a matter of fact, I was just going to jump back a bit and ask you, but I don't have to anymore. I was going to ask you, how does somebody who was a senior executive with MetLife, I'm reading this, of course, from your website, Direct Advice in New England Financial, and an Army intelligence officer, how would somebody like that then make the transition to wanting to educate people about the New World Order? But now I know how.
You know, I'll share this with you, David. It's difficult from the standpoint of most people that are in that world who see that, and as you get to be about 50 or 60 years old, it becomes increasingly more visible. You know, when you're a younger intelligence officer or you're just starting up the VP ranks in the financial services world or Wall Street world, sometimes you're so busy, you know, making money or doing whatever that you don't fully understand the magnitude of what you're doing. But if you're at the general grade level officer in the military, for the most part, you figured it out. And a lot of people, they just figure, you know, I've got a comfortable life. I've got all the worldly things that I want, unlimited travel, I'm making a tremendous amount of money. And they just choose to remain silent. It's not that they don't know. It's just a personal choice. And so for me, I care about my children. I care about other people's children. And I see a future that will lead to decreasing opportunities and positive choices for people in the United States and outside our country. And so anyone who's a former military officer has taken an oath to protect this country. And if they choose to remain silent about this cartel, they're violating their commitment to defend the country from enemies, foreign and domestic. And that's something that I've always taken very seriously. And you can see very clearly, if you look at the monetary system, whether it be gold or any other major instrument, how much is absolutely in the control of this cartel. Since I mentioned gold, let me just point out, people should take a very close look at how the London gold fixing cartel was introduced and how the price of gold today is still set Monday through Friday, two times a day, in the city of London by the same dynastic banking families that were behind the creation of the Federal Reserve and many of the other major controlling organs in the international monetary system.
Are they all Jews?
No, and one of the things that this cartel wants to do is it wants to divide people, and it wants to use religion to get people to be constantly at each other's throats. And they do make a very real effort to present themselves at times as followers of God, whether it be Jews, Christians, Muslims, or something else, because they see that as a very effective way to distract people from the fact that they actually have their own religious belief system, which is one of the greatest secrets that they keep in place through multiple secret societies. In the United States, most people are familiar with Freemasonry, and Freemasonry is one of the largest of the New World Order cartels' front organizations to help maintain the secret of the religious belief system that they have. And that belief system, once you understand it, results in understanding the United States in a very, very different way. And let me just say that there are two forces that have been at work in the United States, a force truly serving God and helping promote economic prosperity and equality and justice. And there's another force that's been hard at work in trying to get the United States to be basically a country that will exploit and engage in mass human sacrifice and a lot of terrible things. And those two forces, once you realize they've been at work, you can understand a tremendous amount of the history of the United States and also what our future possibilities are. We're either going to be a country where what's good fixes what's wrong, or we're going to be a country where it doesn't look anything like what the founding fathers originally intended.
Right, which it seems like that's the direction it's going, at least to me and to most of the people that I talk to. They feel that the United States is on the wrong track.
This is why I left the world of high finance to focus the last 10 years as a full-time volunteer to help educate people, because the cartel, if you look at the history, they have been defeated through education. And so once people realize the problem is not the United States government, the problem is not Israeli policies, the problem is not the UN, the problem is really something much more powerful, using these various entities as fronts to affect their agenda. And once people understand exactly who the cartel is, they take a close look at things like the memoirs produced by David Rockefeller, where he just flat out admits, you know, I don't know if you recall in his book, at one point he writes, I have the quote right here in front of me, for more than a century, ideological extremists at either end of the political spectrum have seized upon well-publicized incidents, such as my encounter with Castro, to attack the Rockefeller family for the inordinate influence they claim we wield over American political and economic institutions. Some even believe we are part of a secret cabal working against the best interests of the United States, characterizing my family and me as internationalists, and of conspiracing with others around the world to build a more integrated and global political and economic structure. One world, if you will. If that's a charge, I stand guilty, and I am proud of it. That's a direct quote from Rockefeller's book, Memoirs, which was published in 2002. And so we have people like the official historian for the New World Order cartel, Carol Quigley, who have gone on record in documented works and have explained exactly what this group is doing, why they're going to try to achieve this totalitarian state. And we even have tremendous evidence now on their religious beliefs and how their religious beliefs are playing out time and time again on the world stage. And for people that are not aware of this, it's quite shocking when you first hear it. But not only was 9/11 not an act of violence conducted by 19 Muslims with box cutters, not only is that nonsense, but 9/11 was conducted by some of the world's leading intelligence services, the Mossad being at the very forefront of this. And the people that participated in that from the intelligence services thought they were doing it for their own national security interests. And they didn't realize, for the most part, that they themselves were serving this darker agenda. But it becomes clear to them when they look at 9/11 as a religious ritual. There's a book that I wrote specifically about this, and it's called The Occult Religion of the 9/11 Attackers. And it explains in great detail how even the smallest aspects of the 9/11 attack were done according to a religious ritual that the New World Order sees as very important to help bring in spiritual energy into this world to help advance their agenda. And wow. I realize how difficult that is to put your mind around, but really the 9/11 truth movement, until it starts to embrace and really speak about what really happened on 9/11 from a spiritual perspective, it will only get a small part of what happened by looking at the evidence of explosives and that kind of thing.
Right, and I guess even then looking at it as Israel doing it is kind of myopic.
Yeah, and one of the reasons why the New World Order structures things this way is if their plan starts to get exposed, you know, for instance, if enough people realized and were to hold the true perpetrators accountable, the people they'd be bringing in would be the agents that were allowed from Israel, that were allowed to return back to Israel after they were captured for their involvement in the 9/11, and then the blame would be on Israel. It wouldn't be on the banking cartel. The same is true when the CIA's involved in various actions. For instance, we just saw the CIA for the first time taking official responsibility for the 1953 involvement and the overthrow of Mossadegh.
Right.
Well, you know, that's true. The CIA was used. Kermit Roosevelt was a multi-generational member of the New World Order cartel. When you place the blame only on the CIA, you don't get to the next point. Why would the CIA do something clearly against the interests and values of the American people? And that's because the CIA, from its inception, has been set up to serve first and foremost this cartel, not the American people.
Are there some names you can identify who are in this cartel?
Yeah, matter of fact, the first book I wrote, The New World Order, goes into great detail on that specific subject. I mean, so not only are you looking at the dynastic banking families, Abel, Astor, Bundy, Collins, DuPont, Freeman, Goldsmith, Kennedy, I could go on, Lee family in China, Mokada, Montague, Pixley, Warburg, Wilkins, but the book also explains who the top families are, because this is a very tightly controlled chain of command, and there are bloodline families that are more important than other families. For instance, the top families. These are the names people, for instance, if you don't have a sense for, you can't really piece together how this one world with 10 regions is coming together. But the Astor, Bundy, Collins, DuPont, Freeman, Kennedy, Lee, Onassis, Reynolds, Rockefeller, Rothschild, Russell, and Van Dune. These are top families, if you look at going back for many, many years, that have been involved in the dynastic banking cartels, the false flag operations, and so much of what's going on. Now, the thing to remember is the cartel's smart, and they go to great lengths to conceal lineages. They alter public records, such as birth certificates. They're changing surnames of members. So while there are 13 heads of the families, beneath them are much powerful, like Congress. These 300 people, they have many different family names, and they direct over 1,000 secret societies and corporations to advance this New World Order agenda. All of this is covered in great detail in the first book, the New World Order book that I've written, in the chapter called The Secret Plan. So, yeah, it's real. We know who they are. And in the appendix of that first book, some of their key front organizations and the key people in each of those organizations, such as the Bilderbergs, the Trilateral Commission, the Council on Foreign Relations, these groups and people are specifically identified by name and what their role is in these groups.
Where could a listener pick up your book?
It's available major online booksellers, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, also the Teach Peace Foundation. When people pick it up at the foundation, there's a little more money that helps advance our work to promote the truth about the New World Order. But we're first and foremost interested in people learning about this information, and that's why we also make the first book in this series available for free online. So if they just go to teachpeace.com, they can get the book available from the homepage just by clicking on the option for the free ebook.
Wow, so really your primary goal here is to teach people, not make money.
If my primary goal was to make money, I would have stayed in the world making money. The point here is we're going to have really a future that is not what we would want for ourselves and for our children and future generations if we allow the cartel to continue down this path of really promoting wars and expanding the gap between the rich and poor and causing all kinds of tremendous suffering along the way. 9/11 is important. People really need to go back and take a look at what happened on 9/11. When you do, and you take a look at the religious objectives that were, for instance, we know the Twin Towers, one was the North Tower, one was the South Tower. In their religion, the concept of the North Tower and South Tower is very, very important. You see it in many Masonic tracing boards. They represent the Boas and Jason pillars. And this ritual that they have, it's called Unveiling Isis, is when in between those pillars is the Veil of Solomon. And that's why Building 7 was called the Solomon Brothers Building. And that's why when it fell just like a veil being dropped. But the ritual failed. This is the important thing for people to realize. So when you look at all the big multi-million dollar memorials that have been constructed, the big memorials always communicate a common theme of a failure. And this is also explained in the third book in the series. And you can understand that what they wanted to accomplish, because the flight that was shot down over Pennsylvania ended up not flying into Building 7, they didn't have the event which would have had that happened on their timetable. All three buildings would have fallen at approximately the same time. But because that didn't happen, their ritual failed. And so their work to bring in their New World Order, they are very particular about their rituals and what has to happen. So what that means is if enough people get educated, they can learn more about the cartel, realize that the cartel would be hard at work right now structuring another ritual like that, and then that ritual would be one of the key events that would help bring about, in their perspective, a series of other events that would lead to 10 world regions and one world government.
There's a lot of work that's been done about involvement of Zionists and Jews in the New World Order, and there's a lot of evidence of their involvement. What you're saying is that although there are Jews involved in the New World Order, they're really not serving the interests of Israel or the Jews. It's something much bigger.
We also know that there are people who hold themselves out as Christians and other outstanding members of various religious organizations, and very often these people are not that. They're infiltrating these organizations to hurt these organizations. If we look at Albert Pike and specifically the plan to have three world wars, we can see how Zionism and other efforts that are serving the New World Order, how they are subordinate. Pike, for people who don't know, Albert Pike, he was born in 1809, died in 1891. And he was and is still held in high regard by Freemasons. He's the person that established the 33-degree system within Freemasonry. And in 1871, he wrote a letter to Giuseppe Mazzini, who was at the time a peer of his and a key leader in the New World Order. And so this letter, written on August 15, 1871, has been commented on by multiple credible authors over the last 100-plus years. Mazzini, just as a little background, he was the founder of the Young Italy Secret Society, which became the Cosa Nostra, which later became in the United States the Mafia. And since the late 19th century, Freemasons have worked hard to disclaim Pike's letter or to say it's a fabrication. Obviously, they would want to do that because there's so much damaging information in this letter. But former Freemasons, top-level people, have come forward over the last century and claimed and explained that not only is this letter credible, but it is actually continuing to explain what's happening. One of those people who stepped forward was a guy named Paul Joseph Copin. He used a pseudonym throughout his life. That's because the Masons would go after anyone who disclosed this kind of secret. The Cardinal Gilli, his name is Cardinal Rodriguez, is another key source that Pike's letter is authentic. This cardinal, Cardinal Rodriguez, wrote a book in 1925, The Mystery of Freemasonry Unveiled, and he explained at that time that the letter was kept at the British Museum and that this letter provided the plan for three world wars. Well, if you go into the New World Order book I've written, you'll see other authors and people that have written about Pike's letter and documented its existence. One of the interesting people who wrote about the letter was a guy who died in 1959. His name was William Carr. In Carr, before he died, he checked with the British Museum, and at that point, they said they had never been in possession of this letter. And so what was fascinating to Carr was someone of Cardinal Rodriguez's reputation, and having produced such a carefully documented book, would have made a claim that the letter was at the British Museum and it's no longer there. But the point being, what Cardinal Rodriguez, what William Carr, and what other people have written about this letter, their comments on this letter, it explains exactly what's happening today. So, for instance, we have Carr making the observation, this is in 1954, World War III is to be fomented by using the differences the editor of the Illuminati stir up between the political Zionists and the leaders of the Muslim world. The war is to be directed in such a manner that Islam, the Arab world, including Mohammedanism and political Zionism, including the State of Israel, will destroy themselves, while at the same time the remaining nations, once more divided against each other on this issue, will be forced to fight themselves into a state of complete exhaustion, physically, mentally, spiritually, and economically. Can any unbiased and reasoning person deny the intrigue now going on in the near, middle, and far east is designed to accomplish this devilish purpose? So again, he wrote that in 1954. He's using some language that's relevant for 1954. That's not in the original letter, which is 1871. But the point is, one of the biggest secrets of Freemasonry, one of the biggest secrets of all the other affiliated secret societies to Freemasonry, whether it be Skull and Bones or Order of the Golden Dawn or whatever, one of the biggest secrets is there is a plan for a one-world government that's brought about through three world wars. And all these secret societies share the common thread, by the way. They're all known as Brotherhood of the Snake or Brotherhood of Death secret societies. And through education, when people realize that the presidents of the United States, going back for many decades, have all served one or more of these secret societies, they can realize that we're not living in the country that we think we're living in. We're living in a country that is absolutely controlled by this New World Order power.
I just said that in an interview recently because I see it frequently. I ask my guests sometimes, are we living in the United States of America that we thought we were living in? Has the United States of America ever been the country that we might have thought it was?
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, one of the multi-generational members of the cartel was Franklin D. Roosevelt. And, you know, he's the president that during his tenure, the back of the U.S. seal became the back of the U.S. dollar. And he and Stimson and others that he worked with in his administration that were members of secret societies, they clearly knew what was going on, being part of it. But if you look at comments that were made, for instance, FDR made the comment that the money cartel, the New World Order, was in power going back at least since the days of Andrew Jackson. And we know Andrew Jackson, he was the president who fought to prevent the bank cartel from instituting basically a third bank of the United States. They were the clear owners of the first bank of the United States, brought about by Alexander Hamilton as their key agent, and also the second bank of the United States. And so when we take a look at the history, it goes back, this existence of this cartel certainly predates the United States. And if you take a look at how Washington, D.C., was specifically selected as the capital of this country, you can see that Washington, D.C. was selected to be a new Rome long before the United States itself was created as a country.
Yeah, I've actually spoken to people about that and about the geometrical significance of Washington, D.C., so I'm a little familiar with that. As you said earlier about wrapping your mind around it, it would take a lot for your average person to wrap their mind around it, but I guess learning about it is the first step. That's why I mentioned about the book earlier. How much time would be required for your average person, you would think, to get up to speed with this stuff?
The feedback on the New World Order book I've received has been extremely positive from people who have studied the subject for many, many years. From that group, I would say it's pretty consistent. They say this is the one book that can give you, in a few hours of reading, what might take you many, many years on your own to realize. And a lot of people who are providing feedback are saying this is the best book providing concrete documented evidence that the cartel is real. And then new people who are reading it are saying, thank you, this is helping me down the path of understanding what's really going on. And there's 5 books in the series, so each one looks at a different dimension. So let's say a reader or listener is most interested in the monetary dimension of the cartel, learning more about how they control the gold cartel and influence the monetary system and so on. The 5th book in the series would be the one they would want to read. For the person most interested in, let's say, 9/11 and how that was orchestrated to divide the Abrahamic faith and bring about wars with Afghanistan, Iraq, Libya, Syria, Iran, and then eventually a full-blown World War III, you'd want to read books 3 and 4. The key thing is I encourage people to read book 1 first because it provides the foundation, exactly who the cartel is, what their objectives are, what are the alternate names that they go by, how their secret societies are interlocked, and how we can defeat them through education. Education that will lead to action. So I highly recommend people take this very seriously, get as educated as they can. And once they do, the answers are pretty simple. I mean, for instance, the New World Order cartel was defeated about 500 years ago. And since that time, they've been building up their power slowly. We can look at the historical examples of how they've been defeated in the past. And it leads to about 10% of the population realizing this is real. And the person talking about this banking cartel is not to be dismissed as someone who's unbalanced. It's actually the person who's seeing the world for what it is. And what about 10% of the American people, so in this case, you know, about 30 million people, start to say, wait a minute, you know, we're going to stop sending our soldiers into harm's way unnecessarily. We're not going to allow them to be cannon fodder as part of the dark religious rituals that these folks construct at the Bohemian Grove and at their religious sites in Europe. When people start to say, enough is enough, we're going to do what's best for our children and for our country, then a brighter world is possible.
Dave, I've been waiting for that day for a long time. The actual title of the book, The New World Order, the first one that's available for free on the website, teachpeace.com, is that Vigilant Christian 1: The New World Order?
It is. I have written the first 5 books to try to speak to a wide audience, but also an audience that would include about 100 of the 300 million people in the United States that identify themselves as Christians. And the feedback from the book, by the way, from non-Christians is very positive, and I hear from non-Christians as often as I do from Christians with positive feedback. But the point is, I found that trying to talk to the Christian audience about why the wars were being fought are wrong, when they're hearing very often in their various churches that we're fighting these wars for God and country and these kinds of messages, was a very difficult thing. And by helping them with a title that really all Christians are called to be vigilant and to be peacemakers and to not be deceived by lies that turn our understanding of Jesus inside out. Jesus was about love one another, serve people, serve your enemies, love your enemies. not just drop bombs on them and say it's okay that kids and children are killed as part of some kind of making a political statement, or all these things that are torture, these things that are becoming somehow acceptable when they're 100% in violation of this message that we should love and serve one another. So I'm finding a lot of really positive feedback from Christians who are reading this book series, as well as from non-Christians who are reading the book series.
Somehow, we as a collective seem to be becoming more comfortable with the torture and the eavesdropping and all that stuff, because there's really no cry from the American populace, it seems. Could it be that the New World Order is just doing such a great job at bringing us to that point?
Ordinary people, they're outraged about the wars, about the torture, the lack of the media to present these issues in a fair way. The New World Order is phenomenal at controlling information. They're the owners of the six major media corporations. They have teams that are hard at work to control information on the internet. Newspapers like the American Free Press are increasingly rare. At this point, you may be the only one in print that's providing accurate information about what's going on. I know there are very few. I can't even think of another 501c3 nonprofit like ours that's focused on trying to help this country and people everywhere by providing comprehensive, carefully documented evidence about the New World Order cartel. But that can all change. And I think each and every time we see the New World Order do something that just doesn't make any sense, more and more people start to move into the camp of, I need to take a look at this seriously and not just dismiss it because I'm being told to dismiss it as some kind of conspiracy theory or something like that. And so we saw a big movement with 9/11, literally. A few million people woke up to realize that what they were being told by the government could not be true. And we see now, with more information about Iraq and Afghanistan and Libya and Syria, more and more people waking up. The New World Order, they're afraid. They are afraid that people are going to wake up fast enough that they're going to have to run this race where they start putting people in detention camps and all that kind of stuff. And they're ready in the wings. We've all seen the field manuals and the fact the Army's recruiting for people to serve in these positions. And they're not too concerned about some of that being out there because they want people to be afraid. And the key thing is, remember, don't be afraid. You know, a coward dies a thousand times. Do what's right. Do what's right now. And you can help be part of something bigger than yourself. You can help bring about a United States and a world that experiences a level of prosperity and freedom that has never been witnessed by humanity before. We live at the most exciting time a person could be alive today. There are lots of people in the military that are waking up. And these courageous people, they are the ones that, along with ordinary citizens, are going to help bring about this change for a much better future. 10 years from now, the United States could look totally different. If we can get to 10% of the American people waking up to know the things that you know and I know.
Dave Dionisi, the president of the Teach Peace Foundation, I want to thank you so much for explaining all this to the listeners. Thank you for serving the country. There's so few people who do that nowadays. And thank you for doing what you're doing now.
And Dave, thank you and the team at American Free Press for helping so many people in our country and around the world.